Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara, Radhe. Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara, Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachara Stotura Sata Sri Sri Matri Dhani Gosami Abhai Charana Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Rinda Kijai Iskon Guru Rinda Vartmanacharya Kijai Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai Nidai Gaur Pramanandi All glories to the Semel Devotees All glories to the Semel Devotees All glories to the Semel Devotees Jai Shri Shri Guru Granga Jai Srila Prabhupada
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Hare Krishna Today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Explanation of Devotional Service. And it's very interesting, it's important that this is called Explanation of Devotional Service. And we have a beautiful verse 17 with very important instructions, actually three instructions here, that resonate throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's chant this verse.
Mahatam bahumanena dinanam anukampaya maitriya chaivatma tulyeshu yamena niyamena cha mahatam bahumanena Mahatam bahumanena dinanam anukampaya dinanam anukampaya maitriya chaivatma tulyeshu maitriya chaivatma tulyeshu Yamena niyamena cha Yamena niyamena cha Mahatam bahumanena Dinana manukampaya Maitriya chaivatma tulyeshu Yamena niyamena cha.
Next.
Mahatam bahumanena.
Dinanam anukampaya. Maitriya chayvatma tulyeshu. Mahatam bahumanena dhinanam anukampaya maitriya chayvatma tulyeshu yamena niyamena cha. Mahatam bahumanena dhinanam anukampaya maitriya chayvatma tulyeshu. Mahatam bahumanena dhinanam anukampaya maitriya chayvatma tulyeshu yamena niyamena cha.
Matajis.
Mahatam bahumanena dhinanam anukampaya
Anybody has learned, memorized the verse already? Anybody would like to try chanting without looking at the board? Anyway. You want to try? No? It's a very nice verse. Prabhupada actually wanted us to learn every day, to learn one verse of the Bhagavatam that we are chanting in the morning. And this is an important verse. Mahatam, to the great souls. Bahumanena, with great respect. Dinanam, to the poor. Anukampaya, with compassion. Maitriya, with friendship. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Atmatulyeshu, to persons who are equals. Yamena, with control of the senses. Niyamena, with regulation. Cha, and. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. So three levels we have here, right? You may recognize this from other places. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. So three things: respect to the acharyas, spiritual master, mahatam, great souls, compassionate to the poor, dinanam, and friendship with the equals, maitriya. To the Atmatulyeshu. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, that we are reading now, right, in the hall, prasadam hall, it is clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance on the path of spiritual master by accepting the acharya. Anybody remembers where does it say in the 13th chapter? That we should advance in devotional service by accepting an acharya? 8 through 12, right. The descriptions of knowledge, 20 sadhanas, 20 elements of knowledge. Acharya Upasanam, that's the word. One should worship an acharya, a spiritual master who knows things as they are. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession from Krishna. The predecessors of the spiritual masters are his spiritual master, his grand spiritual master, his great grand spiritual master, and so on, who form the disciplic succession of acharyas. Param-param. It is recommended herewith that all the acharyas be given the highest respect. It is stated, Gurushu Naramati. Gurushu means unto the acharyas, and Naramati means thinking like a common man. To think of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, as belonging to a particular caste, Vaishnava Jati Buddhi, or community, to think of the acharyas as ordinary men, or to think of the deity in the temple as a being made of stone, wood, or metal, is condemned. It's famous, famous verse. Niyamena, one should offer the greatest respect to the acharyas according to the standard regulations. A devotee should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty-stricken materially. According to devotional vision, a man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very rich materially, but if he is not Krishna conscious, he is considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami used to live beneath trees every night. Superficially, it appeared that they were poverty-stricken. They didn't even have a house. But from their writings, we can understand that in spiritual life, they were the richest personalities. A devotee shows compassion to those poor souls who are wanting in spiritual knowledge by enlightening them in order to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. That is one of the duties of a devotee. He should also make friendship with persons who are on an equal level with himself, or who have the same understanding that he does. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendship with ordinary persons. He should make friendship with other devotees so that by discussing among themselves, they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishta Goshti. Ishta Goshti. Ishta Goshti is not discussing, the temple timings or management matters. Ishta Goshti is desired discussions. Discussions about Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a reference to Bodhayanta Parasparam, discussing among themselves. Generally, pure devotees utilize their valuable time in chanting and discussing various activities of Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya amongst themselves. There are innumerable books such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Upanishads, which contain countless subjects for discussion among two devotees or more. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interests and understanding. Such persons are said to be swajati, of the same caste. The devotee should avoid a person whose character is not fixed in the standard understanding. Even though he may be a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna, if his character is not correctly representative, then he should be avoided. One should steadily control the senses and the mind and strictly follow the rules and regulations, and he should make friendship with the persons, with persons of the same standard.
Mahatam bahumane na dinana manukampaya maitriya chaivatmatulyeshu yamena niyamena cha.
The pure devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals. But all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Akanda Mandalakaram Vyapta Yena Characharam Tat Padam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Yasya prasada dagyapi sadhik sarvagyatam vrajatsa shri chaitanya devami bhagavan samprasidatu. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Respect to different categories of other living entities is the magic door to the spiritual advancement. This is a topic and a theme that resonates through many places in the Bhagavatam. There is one other place in the Bhagavatam where a very similar thing is stated. In the fourth canto, Narada speaking to Dhruva. Then there is something very similar stated in the 11th canto. And actually throughout you can see mention of these three different attitudes. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, when you see the description of the qualities of of an advanced devotee, there are eight verses at the end of the 12th chapter. Sometimes it's called Bhaktashtaka. Krishna gives an ashtaka glorifying his devotee, glorifying the qualities of his devotee. So in the very first verse of that, as soon as he starts speaking about his devotee, he says, Adveshta sarabhutana maitriya karuna evacha. Same things. Adveshta means having no envy. Maitriya, friendship, and karuna, compassion. So compassion is to somebody who is junior or who is on a lower platform or who is poor, who is suffering. Dinanam, it says here, poor. Poor in the sense of, like we say, oh, poor thing. Somebody who is in a disadvantaged position, some way or another, not necessarily financially. And maitriya, friendship. And adveshta, again, refers to somebody who obviously supersedes us in some way or another. So being free from envy, right? So to those who are senior, we can show either respect or freedom from envy or tolerance in some other places. But these three different categories are mentioned in many places. So why Krishna speaks about this? This is actually a very nice chapter. Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha builds a whole discussion just on this chapter. If you see how this chapter is constructed, it begins with Devahuti's questions, and she glorifies her son. She says that we are like in darkness, sleeping and being very tired. I'm very impressed that practically nobody fell asleep as I was reading the purport. It was a long purport, but you are not spiritually tired. You are spiritually alert, I can see. But in the material world, we are tired of reactions. We are chained by the reactions to our activities, and we are very tired of that. And we are in the darkness of sleep, spiritual sleep. Devahuti Madhuri says, and then she says, "You are like the rising sun." Just like now, it's a little chilly still. It's a little cold, but then in a couple of hours, the sun will be up. All the fog will clear, and it will be really hot, getting hotter and hotter. So she says, "You are like the sun. So please, thank you very much for giving me the knowledge you have given. But please tell me how to perform devotional service. Make it really clear how to perform devotional service. Please describe, explain what's devotional service and how to perform devotional service." So this here follows first the description of the devotional service in the three modes, tamas, rajas, and sattva. Violent, some devotional service performed just to spite others. Oh, you want me to do this? Okay, I'll do that, and I'll destroy myself and the temple car, and you'll be sorry also. So, and then that's in ignorance, or in passion, devotional service in passion when we serve Krishna, and we want to be rewarded. It's like this super lucrative investment, Recently one of my friends, classmates actually, we were in school, high school together 20 years ago, so he started writing to me again, and he was showing some mood which is in line with, you know, today's world's mood of, you know, crisis, depression, recession. So I was telling, he was telling actually the Tweed people are like these Gilloris, you know, these chipmunks that always try to collect as much as possible and then hide away somewhere, stash away. So he says, people are just like these little animals. We try to stash away enough grains to weather us through. But he said, by gosh, how do we know when there is enough grains? You know, it never seems to be enough grains stashed away. And then I told him we should better stash away grains of Krishna's mercy in the spiritual sky, and because there is a very profitable exchange rate for those grains of mercy, and they always come in handy, you know. So everybody can experience from time to time the pangs of the material world, and the solution to this is devotional service. And some people come to devotional service to protect themselves or from some material disadvantage, or to get something, fame, financial development and so forth, economical development. So this is more in passion. And in Satvagun, Kapila Devi explains that devotional service performed Hare Krishna, to become purified. But pure devotional service, which is the real thing, is devotional service which spontaneously flows to Krishna, just like river flows to the ocean, and is performed to satisfy Krishna. And then after that, Jai Shishi Gornitai Krishna Balaram Radha Shyama Sundara Lalita Vishakha Ki Jai. So having explained these different kinds of devotional service and pure devotional service, what follows is Kapila Dev's description of how to perform this devotional service. This is very important because more or less since day one, we know what to do, correct? We know we have to chant, we have to come to the temple, we have to serve, we have to do this and that, right? We know what to do. But what is the real secret, or what is the real wisdom, is knowing how to do what we have to do. So this is what Kapila Dev actually reveals here. He has specified, yes, bhakti, do devotional service. That's the best, that's the most powerful process. In every other process, it takes ages and lifetimes to establish yoga connection with Krishna. But bhakti is so amazing that from the very first day, you can establish yoga, you can feel the reciprocation of the Lord. But still, you have to know how to perform it. So all the following verses here, you can see they are in instrumental case. They are saying yamena, so it means by yamas, by niyamas, by respect, by compassion, by friendship. In other words, all these many words in all these verses are in instrumental case, indicating that this is how you perform this devotional service, how you perform bhakti. And here's how. This is one of the very central points in how to perform bhakti. Sometimes there is a discussion, you know, should we work on qualities or should we not work on qualities? And sometimes you see, you know, I mean, qualities, spiritual qualities are described in so many places throughout our scriptures. Yeah, actually every chapter in our Bhagavatam and Gita describes some qualities that a devotee has or should have or should develop, right? But then again you see that it comes automatically, right? Don't focus on the qualities, just surrender to Krishna and it all comes, you know, so, just give up everything. And giving too much attention to developing qualities may be Jnana Mishra Bhakti, right? And pure bhakti is not trying to purify yourself, but just trying to make Krishna happy. So it's a little confusing because, you know, one hand you have so much description of the qualities, you know, almost like 40% of the Gita describes the modes and, you know, how to choose the right thing to do, developing qualities. But then it says, yeah, well, it's not the focus of our practice, developing qualities. So should we develop qualities or should we just, you know, focus on devotional service? Anybody would like to venture at this dangerous point? Anybody would like to venture your guess? Do we work on qualities or do we not work on qualities? So, who thinks we should work on qualities? Can you please raise your brave hands? And who thinks we don't need to work on qualities? Can you please raise your hands? Okay, who is not sure? Okay, all right. So, as it is always in spiritual matters, the answer is a paradox, right? We should and we shouldn't, as it is always with truth. You know, every truth has too many aspects to give just one flat answer to give light to it. So, yes, we don't have to work on qualities as the main focus of our practice. Or, I mean, it can be, and it will be sattva bhakti, it will be bhakti in sattva-guna, which is not bad, it moves us forward very powerfully, but this is not the most powerful type of bhakti. So we don't have to focus on the qualities as the main goal in our practice, right? In other words, if you see how Prabhupada writes, we don't have to work on the qualities independently or separately. We don't need to develop qualities separately. But if you just examine these verses, right after describing pure bhakti, Lord Kapiladev gives a whole series of, 20 verses describing qualities and saying that's how you perform bhakti. By this, by that, by respect, by friendship, by this, by cleanliness. Yesterday we had a nice class by detachment, by seeing me in everybody, and so forth, right? So in other words, we have to work on qualities as not as a focus, but as a mode of performing bhakti. If you allow me to go grammatical, it's work on qualities is not a what, it's a how. So the mistake is to think that qualities is a what or what we should do. So then it relegates, I mean, it kind of replaces the goal with the means. But if we understand that the goal is bhakti and the qualities is not the goal, but they are how we perform bhakti. Because bhakti can, we all know, bhakti can be performed in hundreds of different ways, you know. You can just be half asleep and, I mean, in Vrindavan you can be asleep and it's bhakti. You know, because even if you're lying, it's a dandavat, right? You just walk to, you know, do any damn thing, sorry, and every step is like ashwamedha yagya, right? So bhakti, whatever you do is bhakti, but, you know, there's a different reward or different result, different mode how you can perform it. So this is where this is the key, as they say that devil is in the details. It's not in what you do. You know, we all do more or less the same thing. It's in how you do it. That's why you see all the scriptures. You see the lords, the acharyas. They give us again and again this very compassionate help by saying, yeah, do bhakti, right? But that's how. By developing, by showing these qualities. Also, in the Shikshashtaka that we are chanting every day, we have a problem in the second verse. First verse of Shikshashtaka describes 7 super excellent glories of the holy name. You know, how powerful is the holy name? It's incredible. The holy name can clear all the dust from the mirror of our heart. In other words, and bhava maha davagni nirvapanam, all the raging fire of material existence is extinguished, wiped out, gone. Right? No fire in the heart, in the brain. It becomes cool and clear. And vidavado jivana, we see everything. We get the whole all the knowledge. We know also who are we in the spiritual world? We get all the knowledge, so it's so glorious, but then by the time we get to the second verse of the Shikshashtaka, we hit a snag, we find a problem, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows us that even though your names are as powerful as you, and actually some acharyas say they are more powerful than you, and because they say that all sadhus, just see, Lord Ram, he liberated one woman, and she was not even sinful so much. She was a wife of a sage, you know, almost a sage herself. So he liberated her, and he liberated some sadhus, yeah? But your name, Lord Ram's name, liberated, is like a bridge which takes thousands and thousands of people out of this world to the spiritual world. So I cannot say, but you sadhus judge for yourself who is more powerful, right? So your name is so powerful, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, but I have no anuraga, I have no attachment, I have no taste, and durdavyam, I am very unfortunate, right? So it's clear what we have to do. It's Harinam Sankirtan, it's the most powerful method, but there's some problem. So what's the solution to that? Is the solution to offered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the solution is just to chant longer or more or louder or harder? I mean, his solution is in the verse 3. And in that verse, again, you have four things in this instrumental case which show how you do this, right? You all know this beautiful verse. Let's chant this verse. Trinada pisuni che na tarori vasahishnuna amani namana deina kirtaniya sadahari. Yeah, kirtaniya sadahari. Always chant the holy name, but that's how. Trinada pisuni che na, by being lower than the blade of grass on the street, being more tolerant than a tree, not expecting any respect for ourselves, and giving respect. Have all respect, giving all respect to everybody else. So these four things, that's the solution, right? So again, he gives qualities, these are qualities, right? But again, these are not the focus or the goal of our practice, that's how we perform our practice. So qualities are not a what or not a goal, they are a way or a how we perform our devotional service. And here we have three very important attitudes: respect, compassion, and friendship. Respect, compassion, and friendship. And naturally, they are directed to different levels of people, you know, higher, equal, and lower, so to say, lower. And in the fourth canto, where Narada Muni gives this same instruction to Dhruva Maharaj, he says, it's a very famous verse, 4.8.34. It says, gunadikam mudam lipset. When you see somebody more qualified, be elated. Mudam lipset. Be happy. In fact, Yoga Shastra says that's how you conquer envy, right? Replace the envy with appreciation or admiration of the good qualities in you're envious of. And then, anukrosham gunadhamat. If somebody has lesser qualities, then anukrosham, have mercy on them. Maitrim samanad anvichan. And to those equal, show friendship. Na tapair abibuyate. So this is very interesting. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased, very happy. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, just here to the boon that Narada Muni gives to this common sense instruction, he says, in this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Just imagine, just following this etiquette. This is just instructions for etiquette, you know, how we treat each other. If you just follow, this doesn't even mention bhakti here. It's just, you know, how you act to others. As soon as you have this, as soon as we have this, nata paira bibuyate, the threefold miseries will not affect us anymore. Just this is enough to liberate from all the adhyatmika klesha, the daivika klesha, all the suffering from other living entities, from the mind and inside, and from the forces of nature. Just following this etiquette is enough. It's so powerful. In other words, most of our nartas are, so to say, pride-based. And Hari Bhakti Vilas actually says that the mother of all anartas, all the obstacles on the spiritual path, is the false ego. That's the mother of all the obstacles, the false ego. So therefore, when we learn, because otherwise, what's the normal proceeding? When we find somebody more qualified, you think, oh, why don't I have this? Or, yeah, but do you know that he also does that? You know, or do you know that all one time he said like this, or he did something like that? Or that, 48 years ago he hit another kid in the school, you know? Whatever, we find some fault with them. Or we cannot tolerate them. And when we find somebody junior, again, what's the tendency is to gee, look at them, look at him. He's so stupid. He's so inexpert. And don't you understand? That's how you should do it. And you become condescending and jeering and basically disrespectful. And when we find somebody equal, then what do? we play one upmanship game. We say, I did that. Oh, I went there and I did this, did you go there? Or did you do that? Or do you have this? We try to kind of show that, yeah, we are equal, but I'm one up. I have something more. So that's the normal tendency. So that's what Narada Muni and Kapiladev speak about here. We should reverse this tendency, and we should, if we find somebody junior, we should show compassion. If you find somebody senior, we should be happy, and we should not envy them, and we should respect them. And if there is an equal, just be friend. Just be a friend. Just make friends with them. Helping them, and Prabhupada describes here, discuss Krishna consciousness. He says two or more. Even if there are two, that's enough. Just find somebody who is a devotee of good. Just following the standard practices and ask him about Krishna. Tell him something about Krishna sincerely. And you will see a wonder that happens. And that's the real friendship, not discussing politics or gossiping. That destroys friendship. The real friendship is discussing the important things, or the spiritual life, or Krishna. So this is the instruction, similar instruction. Also in the 11th canto you see the same instruction. And there are many places this instruction about three kinds of relationships is given. And same instruction is, or similar, a similar instruction is given in the Upadeshamrit. Rupa Goswami's manual, a brilliant, ingenious manual in just 11 verses describing the whole way from wherever we are to Sri Radhakund in the spiritual world. The topmost place. The whole map is given very, very detailed. How we go, how we have to avoid the fast stream of the six urges in the heart, and then how to we avoid dangerous obstacles. How we find good companions, and then this Shri Upadeshamrita gives the heart of our practice. What's the heart of our practice? What is the heart of our practice? Huh? Chanting Hare Krishna, yes. Chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, in a certain way. So it gives the heart of our practice only in verse 7, describing result of finding taste and getting nectar. And so description of our main practice comes only in verse 7, preceded by describing what we should obstacles we should avoid, and immediately preceded by this, how we treat others. So there is verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says that if somebody has just uttered the holy name of Krishna, simply just said Krishna, he is to be respected. Hare Krishna. Yes, Krishna. So he's already to be, he's a very special person. Not every person can even say the name Krishna, and not every person wants to say the name of Krishna. But if the person has at least uttered the name of Krishna, he's to be respected in the mind, even if he has very dirty habits. Prabhupada gives the example, you know, he says there are Pragada Sahajas who have not very proper habits concerning illicit sex and drugs and whatever. But we have to respect them in the mind, even them. And then if somebody is initiated and is worshipping the Lord according to being engaged by his spiritual master, then we should physically respect, you know, bow down to this person. And if somebody is the advanced devotee, is an advanced devotee, and how? What's the criterion? One criterion that Rupa Goswami gives, he doesn't criticize others. I mean, Guru may have to criticize because that's his job, you know, otherwise how will he teach the disciple? But he doesn't have the tendency to criticize. It's not his, you know, where he derives pleasure, you know, to criticizing others. So he doesn't have the tendency to criticize, and he knows the science of devotional service. So with such person, we should strive to serve them and be eager for their association. So after saying this, and again, you see three levels, yes? And among these, Prabhupada speaks about Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari there. And among these three levels, you have probably all read Nectar of Instruction. So among these three levels, who can we disrespect? I mean, seniors we have to respect, right? Equals also. But so who can we, who we don't need to show respect to? To whom we don't need to show respect? Huh? No one. Right? Because sometimes we think, okay, so juniors are right. But no. What Rupa Goswami, there is not a single category that we can disrespect. There is no category that we can disrespect. We are told to perform devotional service. We are told to respect everybody. There is, at least in the mind, which is usually more difficult, we know, right? We cannot, you know, say Hare Krishna. You can, you know, do the namaskar, but, you know, in the mind, to think highly of somebody, it's so much more difficult. And we have to think highly, even of a person of low habits, even of a person of a low habits, as long as they at least uttered one name of Krishna. And then the next verse goes even further. Drishtai sabhava janitai. He says, Rupa Goswami says that we shouldn't even see a devotee's body. We shouldn't even see the devotee in terms of his defects. Born of nature. And all the commentators say that it means body, vapusascha dosar, bodily defects, and svabhava janitair, born of nature, meaning his character, how he behaves. We shouldn't have the material eyes to see a devotee. In the text, it says just any devotee. We shouldn't look at the bhakta janasya, just bhakta janasya, bhakta jan, just a community of devotees. We shouldn't perceive them in terms of their bodily defects or character defects. Just as if you go to Yamuna, even now, you know, it's not rainy season, but there are so many things flowing in the Yamuna. But can I ask you to raise your glorious hands, whoever has taken bath in the Yamuna over the last, okay, let's be generous, let's say 2 months. Okay, thank you. It's very powerful. So you took bath. Was there something floating there near the shore? Yeah. Did you, you know, did it prevent you from taking bath? No. You know, it's Yamuna. Even though, you know, so many things flow from Delhi and so forth, and so many things are there, but it's Yamuna. It's the Yamuna. It's this, you know, liquid spirit. It can give, it's one of the five persons in Vrindavan that can give mercy without discrimination. Yamuna is so merciful. Yamuna, Govardhan, they are so merciful that they don't see, oh, he's qualified, or he's going on that one, I don't know. No, they just give. They can just give the mercy of bhakti. So we go and take bath. So in the same way, we don't look at the foam floating on the, you know, on the surface. You don't look at the bodily defects or even character defects. That's what Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion. And after that, he says, then you chant like this in, with respect, without offenses, and then you get the nectar. Not before. After that, you get the nectar. When I have crossed this, you know, high mountain passage of first externally behaving in a sane way with different levels, and then even internally seeing others with respect, then that's the threshold. That's the, you know, like in the mountains, you go up, 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 up. Usually not like this, you go like this, up, 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 up. And then you pass a high passage, mountain pass, and then it's from there it's easier. So that's the threshold, that's the magic door. When we learn to respect others, that's what opens the door to the holy name. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, amanina manadena. Amanina, that's the door, that's the key. How we enter to the holy name. Yeah, we should chant. Sometimes we think, yeah, just chant. You know, Prabhupada says, just chant. Chant and be happy, right? But we miss this small print. Prabhupada, actually, if you examine what Prabhupada says, wherever Prabhupada says, you know, chant 16 rounds at least, minimum, not just 16, minimum, 16 rounds, and follow the four regulative principles, if you examine almost everywhere, Prabhupada adds without offenses. Almost everywhere, Prabhupada adds without offenses. So we can chant till we are blue in the face. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bahu janma kore yadi shravana kirtana taboto napaya Krishna premadana. We can chant Bahu janma, many, many births. Some other place it says koti, millions of births, right? We'll get something, but not Krishna premadana, not the treasure of Krishna prem, of love of Krishna. Why? So these offenses are there. And that's the key. That's actually also what is the line between the Kanishta and the Madhyama, right? So Kanishta is someone who sees, who can worship, who has respect for the deity, he worships the deity. Okay, guru also, yes, you know, the Lord is there, he has respect, he's actually very special person, but natat bhakteshu, so pujam yaksha dayehade, yes? Archayam eva haraye pujam yaksha dayehade. Kanishta dikari, the beginning, the entry level of a devotee or prakrita bhakta or materialistic devotee, is someone who worships the Lord in the temple, pujam, yeah? Archayam eva haraye pujam, yeah? He does puja to the Lord in the temple, natat bhakteshu, chanyeshu, but he doesn't do puja to the devotees and even anyeshu. It seems that the Bhagavatam wants us to respect also those anyeshu, those others, not only devotees, not only the person who sits on the Vyasasana or has, you know, three garlands on him, or, you know, at least kantimala on the, you know, on the neck. It seems that Bhagavatam wants us to respect also others. And one who does not have, who does not do this respect to others is a prakrita bhakta, is a materialistic devotee. That's the definition in the Bhagavatam. Kanishta Bhagavata. So, one who respects the Lord, which is glorious, which is a very great achievement, but not devotees and not others. Whereas a madhyama bhakta is who? Prema, maitri, kripa, opeksha, ishvara tadadhineshu, balisheshu, dvishatsuccha. He has prema to the Lord, right? To the devotees, he has friendship. To the innocent, balisheshu, those who are not so knowledgeable or don't understand still what's the, or have been misled by the demons, he shows kripa. He shows mercy. All right, so he doesn't disrespect anyone. How about the envious, you know, the bad guys, the demons? Does he, you know, just, you know, hate them or go out and really paint them black and, you know, think bad about them? Even about them, Bhagavatam says, upeksha, just be neutral. Just don't care, ignore them. It's good for them, it's good for you, just ignore them. those who are really, really envious. So again, no category to be hated or disrespected. That's a madhyama. In other words, he respects everybody, even the demons, in a proper way. Even the demons he respects by just ignoring them. So that's madhyama. And of course, you know, Uttama. Who is Uttama? Uttama, he sees Krishna in every heart. In every heart. And what follows here, a little later, you see, you know, again, this amazing description. So then, there are two very powerful verses where Kapiladev says that if he just glorified devotional service and worship of the deities, right? Actually, amazing glorification, saying that when you worship the deities, you become inadvertently liberated. In other words, you don't even notice how you become liberated. You just come and you look at the smiling faces of the Lord, and without your noticing, you get moksha. You get freedom from the material world. So it's glorious, yes? But then he says, how do you worship the deity? He says that, aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma vastita sada tadavageya mam martya. Where is it? That one who doesn't see me, worships the deity, but he doesn't see me in everybody's heart, then his worship is archa vidambanam. Hare Krishna. Archa vidambanam means a show of worship of the deity. And in the next verse says, Yomam sarveshu bhuteshu ishvaram santam atmanam hitvarcham bhajate maudyat basmanyeva juhotisas. So if somebody is worshipping the Lord in the deity, but does not respect me in everybody's heart, his worship is like pouring oblations into the ashes. Like, you know, you have yagya. So in yagya you pour oblation, pour or give the offering into the fire. Fire is the carrier, right? So if you would perform a yagya, and then instead of pouring your ghee, or giving your offering into the fire, the fire is already out, and you put it into the ashes. You know, what's the point? So that's Lord Kapiladev's instruction here. Very, very stark, very shocking. He's saying that if you don't respect me in everybody's heart, then it's a show, it's a drama, a spectacle. You know, just make a drama of worship. And such a worship is like pouring ghee into the ashes. So it's important. And then he gives several verses, beginning with entities which are bereft even of life air. Like, you know, some crystals, they have no life air, but they grow. Yeah? Or, you know, some mountains or something. There are some living entities that they are alive, but they don't have life air. They are the first level. Then there are those who have life air. Then there are those who move. Trees have some life air, but they don't move. And then all the way up to the devas and demigods to be respected. And then the brahmanas, then the brahmanas who know the Veda, then the brahmanas who can explain the Veda, and then the brahmanas who act according to the Veda, and then the highest are the brahmanas who don't want any reward. They are the highest. Brahmanas who have adogdha, they don't try to milk their actions for the results. So they are the highest. So all these levels are to be respected. And if somebody sees any difference between himself and others, he will be scared to death. In other words, he'll be killed by time. Everybody who doesn't have this full respect will have to live in fear. So here, Kapiladev gives the very important how, the very know-how, the very, you know, this, there is this English word know-how. Know-how, they sell know-hows. Know-how is a procedure. It's how you do something. It can be costly. So Kapiladev here is selling, you know, he's opening up the consultancy firm here, and he's selling a very valuable know-hows. As we all know, yeah, we have to perform devotional service, but this is how we perform devotional service, with great respect. And this is this, if we want to really get the nectar, if you want to get the real result, the full result of devotional service, that's how we do this. That's how we get rid of the offenses. Actually, what's an offense? We all know aparada, or an offense is the obstacle. What's an offense? Can you give me a synonym for an offense? Yes?
Forgetting Krishna.
Forgetting Krishna, okay. Disrespect. Right. That's the essence of an offense. Disrespect. That's what it is. We try to learn, you know, so many offenses, 64 offenses of the deities, plus 8 more, and this more, this many more, and 10 offenses to the devotees, and, to the holy name, and 6 offenses to a devotee, and 4 kinds of offense. But it has only one remedy. Respect. That's what offense is, disrespect, and if you just have respect, that's it. You don't have an offense. So therefore, in Bhakti Sandarbha 106, Anucheda 106, Jiva Goswami, commenting on all these verses, he says, therefore, for a neophyte devotee, there is an injunction that he should develop respect for every living entity, including prana-less, those who don't even have life air, immovable, like, you know, some pieces of stone, even to them, having respect. Like in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava that the best sadhana, the best practice is offering obeisances to everybody, including dogs, asses, and cows. He says, this is the best sadhana. Lower than the blade of grass in the street. So he says, therefore, for a neophyte, there is the injunction, develop respect. But for Sashradha Sadaka, a practitioner who has faith in Krishna, there is no injunction about developing respect. Why? Because Shraddha, or faith, actually, if you really have faith in Krishna, if I really have faith in Krishna, it means I actually am convinced, I actually know that Krishna is in everybody's heart. You know, if I have faith in Krishna, then that's who Krishna is. Krishna is in everything, and Krishna is in everybody's heart. And if my worshipable Lord is everywhere in everybody's heart, and if he's my worshipable Lord, if I believe it, I will naturally have respect, naturally. So that's why there is no injunction. Not because it's not important, but because there is no need. Sometimes we think, just main thing is just be a devotee and just worship Krishna. That's all, everything included. Yeah, that's exactly why. Because everything is included. Because respect is included. If I actually have faith, not even prema, bhava, nishtha, you know, not some high levels, just faith. If I just have faith, I will have utter respect for everybody and everything. So here Kapiladev tells us, respect everybody, be friends with equals, compassionate to the more disadvantaged, and respect to all the Mahatams, high souls. And then Kapiladev gives a list how we respect everybody and how we respect the Lord in every heart. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions or comments? You had something? Avoiding somebody. There are some persons we are told to avoid, and they are the envious, dvishatsu. Those who are envious, then yes, we can be avoiding them, being neutral to them. At the same time, it mentions that there are 6 kinds that we can offend a Vaishnava in 6 ways. It's from Skanda Purana. It's quoted in our Chaitanya Charitamrita in the purports. six ways. So one kind of offending a Vaishnava is killing him. That's offensive. And if you beat him up, also offensive. I remember one of my co-workers, colleagues in the BBT was telling, I will not offend this Vaishnava, I'll just beat him up. And actually, Jiva Goswami, commenting on this section, says that physical injury is better than the word injury. Because Krishna first mentions physical injury and then mentions ninda, criticizing. It's more harmful. It's cutting the person more and can harm you even longer than, yeah? But no, beating is also an offense. And then not greeting a devotee. And then there is one very funny, being angry at a devotee, keeping anger at a devotee. And then there is one very, very funny element. It's the last type of an offense is not to be happy to see a devotee. That's also offense. If you see somebody and you're not happy, Yes. Oh, you're saying that it's dangerous to see an envious, to think that somebody is envious. Yeah, you're right, actually. That's true. Because the tendency is that when we see somebody envious of, when we think, oh, he's envious of me, then the natural reaction to this is to be not very favorable to this person either. In other words, it develops into a hostility, inimical relationship. And it feeds the envy, because I think and also whatever you focus on that grows. Yeah. So if you always see that person envious towards you, it kind of reinforces. It turns this person by this side to you, right? By the envious side, because you expect this always from him. Yeah. And if somebody is very envious and does something bad to you, and you try to counteract it, it escalates into some war or something. So yes, it's not a very proper way. The best way to diffuse envy is to show kindness to the other person, to be respectful, to respect actually the other person. And the injunction is not to avoid inimically avoid or disrespectfully avoid. Actually, the exact word used is upeksha. And upeksha in Sanskrit means being indifferent. It's not envy. I mean, it's not hostility. Oh, he's envious of me. I'll avoid him. It's being neutral, indifferent. If somebody is envious, just have no movement in your heart to hate him back. This other person back. That's the injunction. And besides, it doesn't say that we should go around and try to find out, oh, who is envious? Oh, he's also envious. Let me write him down. And who else is envious of me? Okay, I think that one didn't look straight when I was looked at. No, it means just, when it's kind of obvious, the person acts. Oftentimes, Prabhupada uses this word envy in its old English, old British sense of hostility, malice. In other words, it's obvious. Person is hostile to you. You don't need to guess. And then you just try to, I just try, you should be, try to be indifferent. Yes. Thank you very much.
You raised the point earlier, what was of a greater priority to develop devotional qualities or just to engage in devotional service. So then the verse came into my mind, yes, yes, di bhakti ra bhagavatiya kinchana, that by engaging in devotional service, naturally...
Wait, by engaging in which devotional service?
Pure devotional service.
Please mention this.
So then I was thinking, yeah, but, for offensive people like myself, that could take a very long time. So then I was thinking of Prabhupada's quote, before you can become Krishna conscious, become conscious.
Conscious, yes.
So I was thinking, therefore, there's merit for me in taking some time to reflect each day about my shortcomings, my offensive nature, my lack of devotional qualities. I remember our first GBC in Canada, Rupanuga Prabhu, a very early disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he said that we should know by heart the 26 qualities of a devotee. And he said, you'll generally find the ones that you're not aware of are the ones that you're lacking. So that brings again to my mind, first be conscious, then become Krishna conscious.
Yes, thank you very much.
And this word respect, spect means to look, yes, or to see, and re means again. So to respect someone means take a second look.
Oh,
just
yeah,
like those disciples went to Bhaktisiddhanta, one devotee was angry with another disciple, and Bhaktisiddhanta said to him, can you not find some good quality in him? So he was asking him to take another look. There must be something about this devotee that's good.
Thank you very much. Very nice. Okay. It's very practical. Yes. Sometimes it takes an effort, but even the smallest step in the right direction immediately changes the field. Sometimes you can see, you argue with somebody, you argue and argue, and it seems to be that you are up in the arms against each other. Then if you just make a small effort to understand the other person, you know, just, you know, put aside my agenda and just for a second try to understand what he thinks, how he perceives, see him again, respect, look again and see what good he has, and you can sometimes, it's a magic, it's literally magic. You were just now, I was arguing with this person, and then I just took a second to see him differently, and this 1 second, when I changed him. You know, the person all immediately backs off and says, yeah, okay, maybe you're right. You know, it's amazing. It's a magic. It's magic. Did you have this experience? Yeah? So, thank you. Yeah, it's very, very important. All right. Any other points, questions, comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, in the course of my services, I have to deal with so many people, like workers, and they many times like to cheat us.
Mm.
So then that way we have to be sometimes angry. Many times have to be angry at them, or they are not working. So that situation, how to simultaneously respect them, and then I have to unwillingly be angry on them. So how to strike a balance?
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, it's sometimes we need to deal with. Yeah. So it's a Vaishnava etiquette. I remember in our temple we had the list of 46 items of Vaishnava etiquette. It's from Bhakti Charu Maharaja's book when I joined. And one of the items there is, a Vaishnava does not chastise anybody except his children and disciples. So if it's not your child or a disciple or a subordinate, like somebody who does some work for you, then we have no business chastising them or, you know, pontificating to them. Not hired, don't teach, yeah, as they say. Can be many things to be said. It's actually a Vedic thing. Don't teach unless somebody accepts you as a teacher. But if it is your child, or if it is your student, or if it is your worker, it's your duty to direct them properly, and it's your duty to criticize when necessary. But what is spoken of here is not just the external action, but internal attitude is the main thing. And you are very lucky here in India, because you still have very much intact, you can still go around and see this culture of how a person can be angry, I mean show anger, but be respectful. Like you can see some elder people or somebody, they can be very harsh on somebody, very strict, but no inner disrespect to this person. In other words, it's like they say, you know, hate the sin, not the sinner. So, and that's very effective when you, in your heart, if you have at least a little respect to the person, if you find something good about the person, and then you criticize something bad that he does, he can change. Otherwise, you know, if I see only bad, it means I don't see how he can change. I mean, if he's all bad, And there is no use even telling him anything because he's all bad. There is no spirit in him. And that's also actually a difference between Madhyama and Kanishtha. That's why a Madhyama can preach, and Kanishtha oftentimes his preaching is too harsh. He's just abrasive, and he's just bruising people because he sees bad and he sees only bad. When I'm Kanishtha, I see only bad. But a Madhyama, I see, okay, it can be a heap of, you know, manure, but there is some gold in it. In other words, I see that this is a spirit, and he has chosen this, but Krishna respects his choice. If Krishna respects his choice, then who am I to, you know, Krishna allowed him to be this pile of manure. Krishna allows him to be like that. So Krishna respects his choice. He's a soul. Krishna respects his, he gives him all the opportunity to be bad. So who am I to disrespect? Who is higher than Krishna? And he respects this choice. Am I higher than Krishna to disrespect his choice? No. So that means I see the potential. I see the potential of this person to change, to choose. I see the spirit that he has chosen. And then when there is this line of respect, then when I chastise or blast him, then he will be inspired because you see something good in him, right? And then he will be attracted and he will try to become better. Maybe what I'm saying is not exactly just, you know, workers who come for half a day or something, but in general, it will act even then. I don't know, sometimes, who has had the experience when a loving person chastised you? And you could feel the love. I had the experience. The person was very heavy on me, telling very unpleasant things. But there was no doubt. This person had love and respect for me. So I didn't feel insulted at all. I didn't feel offended. I actually felt that I want to change. I want to improve. So that's the goal. Have respect, and then if necessary, external actions require that, then show anger, be heavy, but in your mind, allow the person some hope for improvement. Otherwise, how will you inspire this person to improve? That's what always inspires us in senior devotees. Yeah, a senior devotee is like a magnifying glass. That's why we like to be with senior devotees, because they respect us, isn't it? A senior devotee, when you come close to a senior devotee, he actually looks at you and he sees that, oh, you're a spirit soul. I remember when I first went traveling with Niranjana Maharaj in my early days of Krishna consciousness, I felt myself a human being for the first time in my life. I saw he's respecting me. My God. You know, I thought I'm nothing, and he's respecting me. So maybe I do have a right to exist. Maybe actually, I actually am a soul. Maybe there is something, you know, some hope for me to, you know, to shape up and grow and so forth. That's what Satyadevi says in the fourth canto, speaking to Daksha. Yeah? He says there are four kinds of people. There are mahat, great souls, who see good and bad. It's important. Why they are mahat? Because when they see bad, they don't forget the good. Our tendency, normal tendency, is I see bad, I try to cross this person out of my life. We have been friends for, you know, 5 years, and then one time he did really bad, something really bad, forget him, right? I forget the good. So that's why that's like normal. But Mahat, he sees the bad, but he also sees the good. He doesn't, you know, cross out the person. This is Mahat. This is great. Greater, she says, Mahattara, is the one who sees good and bad, but gives attention only to the good. In other words, he reinforces the good, and it overpowers the bad. He doesn't deal with the bad so much. And the Mahattama, she says, is like Lord Shiva, Mahattama, who in the pile of only bad qualities, nothing but bad qualities, he still manages to find one good quality, just one, and blow it out, you know, make it really big. That's Mahattama, that's the greatest. We know, you know, he collects totally rejected entities, you know, ghosts and, you know, hobgoblins and, you know, there was a whole list of different bhutas, pishachas and so forth, who have some qualities, you know, not so good. He finds something good in them. That inspires them. It brings them up. He benefits them. They get better destination later. So, and then she says, and then, so these are the mahattamas. Like Chanakya Pandit says, one who can extract nectar from poison, accept a good girl from a bad family, find gold in dirt, pick up gold, and accept instruction from a low-born person. He's a wise person. So, mahatma, in only bad, apparently something bad, but he finds a good quality and magnifies it. And then she says, there is a fourth kind, people like you, Daksha, who see a spotless person, absolutely perfect person, and they see only fault. Nothing but fault. Criticize Lord Shiva. I think it's pretty late. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Respect to every living entity and not even living entity, ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Ram.